Crossroads Church is a community of people across the country, trading isolation for friendship, insecurity for hope. We're pursuing God in the midst of our mess, a God who loves us and takes us on incredible adventures. Check us out.
Well, hey, thanks for tuning in and joining us at Crossroads. I'm Chuck Mingo, and welcome to my kitchen. We're talking about hospitality today, and I'm going to be doing a little bit of cooking in the kitchen because I think there's something powerful when we invite people into our lives and, yes, even into our place. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So glad that you're joining us wherever you're tuning in. If it's a watch party, if you're hanging out on your computer, man, we're just excited that you're here. And we're going to start our time off with a little bit of singing. You know, I believe God wants to connect to you, that he wants to relate to you and me. And one of the ways we get to relate back to him is when we sing songs about him and when we get to do that together. So join us, turn it up wherever you are, and let's sing together.
Our God, a firm foundation, our rock, the only solid ground. Nations rise and fall. Kingdoms once strong, now shaken. And we trust forever in your name, in the name of Jesus. Yeah. We trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you.
You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are the It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles. There's a table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my
I'm fighting my
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Who could imagine such great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my Lord.
Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe, and out of the
Jesus, yours is the victory.
and hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. And you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Well, hey, thanks for singing with us today. My name is Kyle. If we've never met before, I'm part of the Crossroads team here, and we're in this new series called People Skills. And here's the thing, here's why we're doing this series, because it turns out that the best life comes down to having the best kinds of friends. And so we're doing this series to teach you and me how to have the best kind of friends. That's what we're here with. And I've actually got two of my friends with me here. This is Greg.
What's up?
And Ty.
Hey-o.
Here's the thing. We met at Crossroads, the three of us. But I don't actually know the answer to this question. What was the first thing you guys did that was like meeting somebody at Crossroads? Like the first thing beyond just like watching or sitting in a seat or whatever.
I remember mine was, I was in college and there was this big group thing starting up, and I just heard that there was a house on campus where a bunch of Crossroads people were meeting. That was actually the group that you came into like a few months later.
Just a few months later. Oh yeah.
The first group of people I actually met with was a group of songwriters actually here at Crossroads. Musician, have a background in musician. It was awesome. We would get together, we would write songs, and actually more after a while, we stopped writing songs and we're just hanging out. Huh. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're talking about this because there's a new tool. I'm going to tell you about it now. We're going to ask a few more questions for you guys. A new tool we just made called Get Involved, and it's actually just a button on the website. Top navigation, you can go to crossroads.net and you'll see the words Get Involved. Click that link, because here's the thing, if you don't do it, if you don't find a spot to get involved at Crossroads, you're not gonna make friends who can shape and change your lives. For me, I think about, I'd be in a really different place if I'd never met you guys and hung out with you guys.
Yeah.
What do people need to know about how to get from the first time trying to get involved to what we have today? What's it take?
I think you just gotta keep trying stuff. I was part of that songwriter group that I talked about before. I was part of a small group of married couples for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. Then kind of fell off the map a little bit, did something with some more married couples, and ultimately like landed with a guys group that really felt like a fit. One of the things that makes this different for me is that I see a markedly different me now than I did 3 years ago. Whether it's through being a dad, whether it's through being a husband, being a friend, whatever it is.
I know for me, just hanging out with you guys, I'm a better dad, I'm a better husband, I'm a better person, I'm happier in my life. I have people I can hang out and have fun. I use some of the stuff you taught me about fathering in a message I did like a month ago, and everyone thought I was super smart. It wasn't me, it was you. You did that. You taught me, so.
It wouldn't have been hard to say, like, my friend Ty told me this, would it? Would have been that difficult.
No, we're on a tight schedule. You can't add extra words, so I didn't have time for that. Yeah.
I'm in the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah, right. If you want to get to a better place in your life, in your relationship with God, you have to have people in your life who are going in the same direction with you. We've made it super easy for you to do just that, to get involved and to move beyond just experiencing this weekend or this video to where you actually have real friends. We put it all in one spot. Again, it's crossroads.net. There's a big button that says Get Involved. Click that button, and we put all kinds of things there for you to look at. And by the way, if you get to that page and you're like, this is overwhelming, I don't know what to do, we can make a recommendation for you. Just click the chat button in the corner, and someone would love to talk to you, walk you through the options, learn a little bit about you, and connect you to the right thing for you. We're going to have a minute to be generous right now. Generosity is something that the Bible talks about through and through. And actually, you know what? You tell us about this. We're just talking about this verse, the Timothy verse.
Yeah, there's a verse that just basically talks about God gives us everything not to give back to him. He actually says he gives everything to enjoy, which I think is just like turns it on its head, because anytime a church asks for money, I always think like, oh, you want me to believe that God wants everything that I have? And he actually says, no, he gives us everything to enjoy. So this idea of like, when I open up my hands, God just isn't like trying to take stuff out of it. He actually wants to put some things in my hands as well, which just puts me in a posture of generosity.
That's awesome. If you want to give too and join us in that, man, we'd love to have you. Go to crossroads.net/give. You make a one-time gift, set up a recurring gift. Whatever you want to do, we'd love to have you on the team with us. And we're about to hear from Chuck Mingo, who's going to help us make time for friends.
Welcome to People Skills, featuring a human male named Joe. Here we see the young millennial male has just made a new friend. The next step will be for them to spend time together outside of the work environment. Let's observe, shall we?
Hey, man, let's grab a beer outside of work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me check my calendar real fast.
Okay. So let's just try for tomorrow.
I think I'm working late, maybe the day after.
Trivia night. Thursday?
Got a business trip. Maybe the Monday when I get back.
Spending with the in-laws. Tuesday after that.
I have my escape room break-in. You know, where you break into an escape room. maybe that Wednesday?
Hot yoga. Friday.
Friday, Quidditch tournament. 3 Fridays from now?
Cold yoga.
Grandma's baby shower.
3rd round of LASIK.
Tober's all syrup tasting.
Secret shopper training. Oh, man. Okay. How about lunch?
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Let's just do lunch.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Lunch tomorrow then.
It's my archaeology club. Sorry.
See you next week for another episode of People Skills. These two humans will still not have figured out their schedules by then.
Hey, welcome to my kitchen. Yes, welcome to my kitchen. And I'm going to be doing a little bit of cooking today. A little bit of cooking. Let's just lower your expectations. This will not be Martha Stewart or Iron Chef. I've got some pancakes and I got some sausage. That's what I'm making. But yeah, we're talking about hospitality today. And one of the things that I believe is that one of the powerful things that happens when we invite people into our lives is it happens through us opening up. So we're going to be talking about that today. So we're in this series, People Skills, and we've been looking at this idea that, you know, we're created to be in community. We're created to thrive in relationship with each other. And so every week in this series, we're looking at some of the things that help us thrive in relationship. And today we're talking about hospitality. Hospitality is simply the practice of opening up your life, your space, your time to other people. I also think hospitality is something that a lot of us struggle with, not because we're not hospitable in the sense of we're unkind to people, but I think we struggle to let people in. And so I wanted to let you in to my kitchen. So if you were at my house, first let me wash my hands, because if I was going to cook for you, you'd want me to wash my hands. So I wanted to let you into kind of my space. And this is something that I definitely would cook if you came to my place. You'll hear a little bit more about why later on. But we're going to be talking about this today, because I believe one of the things that keeps us from community is this idea of not practicing hospitality or not even knowing what it means. And I guess I should say this up front. I am not talking about you finding this unicorn called spare time. Because I don't know about you, but I don't have any spare time. Does anybody have some spare time, right? Spare time is not a thing necessarily, right? I mean, I got a wife, I got 3 kids, I got a job. I don't need another thing to add to my calendar. But I believe that the barrier that we face when it comes to hospitality is actually not time. I think it's something different. And so today, I want to encourage us to face that barrier, to overcome it, and experience the fruit that comes from practicing hospitality, because I really believe practicing hospitality will change your world and can literally change the world. So let's pray as we jump in. God, thank you so much for the opportunity to explore these people skills, to know that you've created us for a relationship in community, and that you actually want to help us to experience more of that and to experience it more fully. So I pray that you use the words today and the time that we have to help us all grow in that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me get some stuff fired up here. So one of the things that I recently came across, a friend of mine connected me to, was a really good TED Talk. There's always a lot of really good TED Talks, but I thought this was a really good TED Talk. And the title of the TED Talk was, "Is Social Media Affecting Your Mental Health?" What do you think the answer was on that? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And in this, Bailey Parnell, who wrote this, she has a lot to say about social media and how it impacts us. But one of the things she talks about is the fact that because of social media, we all feel this pressure to have this like perfectly curated life, that every image that we put on Instagram, that every post that we have on Facebook has to be perfectly curated. And that includes like the space it happens in, right? The lighting even, our positioning, all that stuff. And so she talks about how this environmental kind of idea is affecting us, and I think it's definitely affecting us relationally, because it puts all kinds of pressure on us to just be perfect. In fact, I think the pressure that we get to live a perfectly curated life actually affects men and women slightly differently. I think if you're a woman, the message that you hear in this is do it all, do it perfectly, and never let them see you sweat. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Right? Right? That's what you hear and feel and sense. So I think that's a unique thing. I think for men, it shows up maybe slightly different, just the same message, but with a different twist to it, which is basically never, ever show weakness, ever, 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 ever. And so as a result, she quotes a pastor who puts it really well. We wind up with this insecurity because we're comparing our behind the scenes to everybody else's highlight reels, right? I mean, on social media, we're seeing everybody's highlight reel. So I got to tell you, you know, pancakes can be made with like that low-fat cooking spray, but pancakes are better with butter. In fact, almost everything is better with butter. So we're gonna break out some actual butter and make these pancakes today. But I think this insight that we struggle with insecurity because we're comparing our behind the scenes to everyone else's highlight reels is actually why we struggle with hospitality. We struggle with it because we never think we're enough. So what can we do around that? Well, one of the things I want to propose today is that we wage war against this perfectly curated life and instead invite people into your actual life. Invite people into the life you actually live. One of the things that I'm realizing is all of our relationships get better with two simple words: open up. Open up. And if there's any takeaway from today, it's that. My encouragement to you is that today, and beyond this day, obviously, you would open up. And I believe hospitality is the spiritual practice of opening up. Yes, it applies to our homes and it applies to people and places, but we're going to talk about it at an even deeper level because hospitality is not just a way of being with people in a space, it's actually a way of living. And the Bible has a lot to say about hospitality. Maybe surprisingly so. You might be surprised to know that hospitality is mentioned over and over again in the scriptures. That in fact, it's a spiritual practice and expectation of followers of Jesus. Always has been, and perhaps always should be, and always will. So we see this mentioned a bunch of times in the Bible. But one of the places where hospitality comes up is in the book of Romans. And that was a letter that the Apostle Paul, the early founder of many of the New Testament churches, wrote to followers of Jesus. And he's kind of talked about all that Jesus has done for us. And he's kind of at the end of this letter, and he's writing to them about the practical things. Like, okay, so based on all that I've said about Jesus and what he's done for us, what does this look like when it shows up in your life? And that's what he's kind of hitting in Romans chapter 12. And so I just want to read verses 12 and 13. He says this. He says, "Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints." And then he says, "Seek to show hospitality." Seek to show hospitality. Now, some of those you would expect to be in a list of how followers of Jesus should live, right? Prayer, yeah, that makes sense, right? Being patient with hope. Even this idea of contributing to the needs of those who don't have, you would expect those things to be in the list. But right up there with these kinds of spiritual practice, Paul says we should practice hospitality. And the way that he uses the word practice is to say basically this should be a way of life for followers of Jesus. Practicing hospitality should be a way of life for us, not just something we do on Christmas and Thanksgiving, but it actually should be something we do all year long, a mindset, a lifestyle of practicing hospitality. He says we should pursue it. One author puts it this way. They say, "Our homes and apartments should stand constantly ready for strategic hospitality, a readiness to welcome people who don't ordinarily live there." Now, what keeps us from that? Well, like I said, I think one of the things that keeps us from that is the idea that wherever we live, whatever we have, is just simply not enough. And I want you to know that is a lie. So I want you to believe this more than you believe it right now, that the best thing you have to offer to the people in your life is your actual life, your normal life, not your curated life, not your perfect life. People want to engage you in your normal life. It's the best thing that you can offer to them. And we're not too busy for people. Sadly, we often are too busy trying to make our lives enough for people before we let them in. And when we put our guard down and we let people see the dishes in our sink and we let them see the dishevelment of our house, it actually helps us have not more shallow relationships, but deeper relationships. I mean, I'll tell you, this has been a journey for my wife and I. We've had to learn our way there. We have struggled with house envy. I don't know if anybody else has struggled with that, but we've struggled with house envy. We have some friends that have some really nice houses. And so when we go to their places, it's kind of like, man, we couldn't do this in our house. We couldn't host this many people in our house. And we have struggled with that over the years. And it's been one of the places where God has really challenged us to grow and to open up. And so here's what I know. I know that right now, if I were to say to many of you who are listening, many of you who are engaging right now, hey, after this service, I want to come to your house. I know some of you would freak out because of the current state of your house, right? Right? Now, let me tell you the truth. The truth is, in many cases, so would I. In many cases, I would feel the same way. I'd be like, oh man, is our house ready to prepare? So you know what I figured I'd do? I can't bring all of you to my house in its current state, but I can take pictures of it and I can show it to you. So I want to show you my house right now. If you were to come to my house right now, here's what you would see. The first thing you'd walk into is you'd see our kitchen counter right here. And if you're wondering, yes, it is always that cluttered. Did I mention I have a wife and three kids? Did I mention that? So our kitchen counter serves as the place where our kids do their art projects. It's the place where sometimes they do their homework. It's the place where we hang out together. And I can just tell you that, you know, my oldest is 10 years old. And for 10 years, our kitchen counter has been basically about that cluttered all the time. So welcome to our house. But let me show you our dining room. So if you look at our dining room, you'll see simple dining room. You know, you see my computer, my laptop's there, my journal. It's a place where I do a lot of planning and prep. You know, obviously we can sit around that table and have a good meal together. That's absolutely possible. But what you can't see from that angle is that it also couples as a great place to hang your clothes when they're drying if you run out of place to do that in your basement. So this is what our house looks like right now. So welcome to our house. And here's what I know. I know that for a lot of us, these are the reasons, these things are the reasons why we're not letting people into our space. Or we're not letting people into our place. And if that's a physical expression of that, spiritually the same thing is true. We feel like, well, I got to get my spiritual house in order before I can let people in. I need to be kind of up on this Christian thing and know all the right things to say and be doing most of the right things before I can let people in to my life. And it's actually the opposite. And one of the things that will help us see this differently is to recognize there is a difference between entertaining and hospitality. There's a difference between those two things. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying that they're different. And this is not original to me, but I came across a really good comparison of these two. And here's what they said. Entertaining focuses attention on self. Hospitality focuses attention on others. So when you're entertaining, what you really want is at the end of that party, you're hoping that people walk away and say, man, you know what? When the Mingos throw a party, you want to be invited to that party because boy, do they put on a heck of a party. That's really what we want when we're thinking through the lens of entertaining. However, when we think about it through the lens of hospitality, it's about the focus being on other people. It's about people coming into our space and whether they walk away blown away by anything we've done or not, they just say, man, I felt welcome there. I felt received there. Here's another difference. Entertainment is always thinking about the next course. They're always thinking about the next course. So one of the reasons I'm doing pancakes and sausage is because we love breakfast in my family. We really do. And I love breakfast because my dad, who turned 91 a week ago, always told me that if you really want to start a day well, you got to start with a hot and heavy breakfast. Like that's his thing. So breakfast has become kind of a pastime in our house. So, you know, we do breakfast for dinner. We call it a superhero dinner. We do breakfast all the time because we love breakfast foods. And I'm always struck by my dad's love for breakfast. So that's why we do that. So one of the shindigs that we actually do host in our house when we are entertaining is actually on New Year's Day. We do a New Year's brunch. And I love the New Year's brunch because I love the people who come and it's a tradition for us and our friends. But can I just tell you, that's not the best connection time I have with my friends because we're entertaining. And you know how it is when you're entertaining, you're always thinking about the next thing. You got to refill the ice. You got to make sure this is working. You got to make sure that is working. So I get moments here and there when my friends are at the house to hang out and enjoy them. But for the most part, a lot of that time is spent focusing on the next course. Entertaining focuses on the next course. Hospitality actually burns the rolls. It burns the rolls because rather than be focused only on the next course, you're focused on the conversation that's happening. And you don't care if the rolls burn. because you're having a conversation with a friend and it's impacting you and it's impacting them. Here's another difference between entertaining and hospitality. Entertaining obsesses over what went wrong. Entertaining obsesses over the fact that these pancakes are a little bit too brown, so I'm gonna make some more so I can try to, you know, get them a little bit better. That's what entertaining focuses on. But hospitality actually savors what went right. It savors what went right. It recognizes that, hey, you know what? Rolls might have been burned tonight. There might have been meals that came out too soon or too early tonight. But if I step back from all of that, I know the people that were in my house better. We got to connect and build relationship and build friendship with each other. And something happened. There's an exchange that happened that goes beyond the perfection of the food. Another difference is entertaining can be, doesn't have to be, but it can be exhausting. It can be exhausting. And actually, if you ask an entertainer, man, this is a lot of work, what they typically say is, oh, it was nothing. But it was something. It was a lot of something, right? It's exhausting. Hospitality, on the other hand, actually says, oh, it was nothing, because it was nothing. They didn't overdo anything. They weren't trying to go for a level 10 experience for you. They wanted you to feel welcome. They wanted you to be in their space. And so hospitality isn't exhausting. Here's another one. Entertaining seeks to impress, but hospitality seeks to bless. Hospitality is about blessing. And so we're gonna have an opportunity for you to have some conversation. You know, we're in people skills, so we figured let's practice some people skills as a part of this series. So here's what we're gonna do. I want you to meet another person in the room. If you're watching and you're not in a physical room, you might be in a watch party, then connect with someone in that room. If you're watching at a coffee shop, talk to somebody you're with. If you're in your car, talk to yourself. I don't know. Just make this work. But I'm gonna ask you to spend a minute sharing with the person you meet in answer to this question and then hearing their answer. When is the last time you experienced genuine hospitality? Not entertaining, but as I've defined the difference, when's the last time you experienced genuine hospitality? Had that conversation with someone you haven't walked in with. Had that conversation for 2 minutes, 1 minute each person. We got a timer. Ready, set, go. All right, 10 more seconds. Awesome, all right. All right, you guys are chatty. It's a good conversation to have, huh? Well, I tell you what, I'm gonna actually try to show some hospitality right now. So, who wants some pancakes and sausage, huh? Can I interest you in this, sir? No? No? You're good? All right, all right. There you go. There you go. There you go. And let's see who else. Here you go. Yes. Enjoy. Enjoy. That's right. You're welcome. You're welcome. So there's definitely a difference between entertainment and hospitality. And what we have to recognize is our normal life is accessible to people, and when it is, it's beautiful. It's what builds relationship. So once we have a mindset shift and we can start to understand, man, right where you are, as you are enough. You've got places in your life to invite people into right now. How do we begin to live this out practically? Let me give you three practical things today, three practical ways that you and I can practice hospitality all around this idea of opening up. The first one is this: open up your calendar. Open up your calendar. Now, again, this isn't about finding spare time. This isn't about adding another event to your calendar. It's about looking at what you already do and finding places that you can invite people into. My neighbor really modeled this to me well. I live across the street from like the coolest neighbors. I mean, it's the perfect neighbor, right? His name is Kim, and he's married to a woman who is also named Kim. So that makes it kind of interesting, right? So Kim and Kim, but Guy Kim, Guy Kim, they text me and they'll say, this is Guy Kim, this is like girl Kim, they'll say that. So Guy Kim, perfect neighbor, so is his wife. Guy Kim is the guy that has the toolkit with every tool and is willing to generously share it and help you finish the project. Like, amazing, especially when you have no skills in that area like me. Love him for that. He's also just great with our kids. He's just an awesome, awesome neighbor. He really is. And so I had an experience with him a couple weeks ago that showed me what it looks like when you open up your calendar. It was Reds opening day, and actually had gone to the opening day parade for the Cincinnati Reds baseball team, something we do every year as a family. And coming home from the parade, saw Kim and just hung out with him and spent some time with him in his back deck where he was smoking a cigar and he had the game on the radio. And so, you know, he offers me a beverage and we sit down and we're hanging out. And it was just a fun time. We were just small talking and just talking about different things. And as I was getting ready to leave, he said, hey, Chuck, I don't know if you know this or not, but I want you to know, if the Reds have a game and I'm home, I am right here on my back deck smoking a cigar and listening to it on the radio, and you are welcome to always come and hang with me. And I was like, man, that is awesome. And what he was demonstrating to me and to all of us is what it looks like to open your calendar. He wasn't adding an event on his calendar. He was already going to be listening to the game, but he created space in that for people to join him. That's what it looks like to be hospitable. So I want you to think about your calendar. I want you to think about regular rhythms, places you know you're going to be, things you know you're already going to be doing, and how might you invite people in to what you're already doing? So it's not something new, but you're opening up something that already happens. That's one of the practical ways we show hospitality, is we open up our calendar. Second idea for you on this is to literally open up your place. Whether your place is a dorm room, or an apartment, or a rented room, how do you open up your place so people who you want to build friendship with can experience life in your space? I'll show you a picture I'm pretty fond of. These are some dudes that are really key to my life. This is my dude group. So this is a group of guys. We meet together every Tuesday, unless there's an exception, and 7 p.m. at my house. This is my dude group, my small group. And I'll just tell you, there is a powerful friendship and connection among all of the guys in that circle. And I've had a bunch of groups. I've led a bunch of men's groups in my life. There's something different about this, and here's what I think it is. I made a decision with this dude group to only and always have them over to my place, as opposed to meeting off-site somewhere. You know, at Crossroads, obviously, I got a bunch of rooms that we can meet in, and I've had groups where that was the rhythm. We would meet at Crossroads, you know, because I had more space or whatever. And it was, again, that idea of like, well, my house isn't enough, so let's meet at Crossroads. And I just made a commitment with these dudes, we're going to meet at my place. And unless there's an exception, that's what we do. Which means every Tuesday at 7, they enter into my life wherever my life happens to be. If my life happens to be trying to mitigate the challenge of my hangry children, they see that. If that's where we are and we just had a great meal as a family, they see that. In fact, if they show up early and they've learned this, they actually get some of Maria's really good cooking, not my pancakes and sausage. And so they'll come and we'll get to have a meal with some of them. They've noticed that, all of those things. They've seen the ups of my family. They've seen the downs of my family. But they are so a part of the fabric of our family that when they don't come to the house on a Tuesday, my kids get upset with me. Because the dudes aren't coming. That's what they call them, the dudes. Are the dudes coming, right? But it's because there's been an invitation into my life. So yes, I believe our friendship, our spiritual growth has gone to a new level by that simple choice to say, I'm going to open up our place. Our place isn't perfect. Sometimes you're going to be stepping over toys when you come in my house, but you're welcome to come every Tuesday so we can do life together. What does it look like for you to open up your place? Again, whatever your place is, how do you open it up? to the people in your life. You know what? This is a powerful principle, even if you're in the business world, if you're thinking about your work team. It doesn't have to just be your spiritual groups, your work team. I know the bosses in my life who have invited me into their space to have a meal at their table with their family. Man, that's a huge team builder. Huge team builder. So opportunity for us to be hospitable by simply opening up our place. Third idea is this. Open up your life. Open up your life. We all struggle with not enoughs in our head. All of us have them. Reasons why we don't want to let people in. I'm not smart enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I don't have enough of this. Or maybe I have too much of that. And these things keep us, they create false barriers and they keep us from being hospitable and therefore they keep us from getting the benefit of people getting closer to us. And I want to just encourage you to open up your life. Don't listen to the not enoughs. We all have the not enoughs. Guess what? All of us have things that are spots or places in our house or places in our life that we don't want anybody else to see. And when we get over that and allow people in anyway, you know what we find in those places particularly? We find grace. We find grace. So one of the places that I experience the kind of hospitality that comes from people who open up their lives is when I traveled to India. I went to India some years ago, and I was blown away by the hospitality of every place we went. But a particular place stands out. It's the Sundarbar Islands. And this is like, you know, if Calcutta feels like it's off the beaten path, man, this place was off the beaten path of the beaten path. I mean, so just, I got some pictures here just to show you. We had to drive for 2 hours. Then we got on this boat for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. Then after we got off this boat, we got on this tricycle thing here. And they fit like 20 of us on that one tricycle thing here. So we rode that for a bit. And then after that, we had to do some walking. So we're walking through these fields. We're in the middle of nowhere. And as we start to make our way up toward this church, we start to hear music. And actually, we hear the voice of children. And so these children are gathered in this church. And they are singing these songs. And they're familiar songs to us. And they wanted it to be familiar songs to us because they were welcoming us into their place. And so we come. I think I have a picture of the kids. And they're singing the songs. And then they begin to serve us. And they served us. The first thing they served us was fresh coconut. Fresh coconut. And so we got pictures of my buddies and me drinking the coconut. I did not like the coconut. I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't like it. But I felt received, and I knew it was a gift, and so I enjoyed that coconut out of the spirit of the hospitality in which it was given. And we had this moment with them where I realized, and one of the pastors told us this, he said, I hope you understand, this is a really poor village. And in essence, what he told us is they had all kind of crowdsourced a meal for us. They didn't have enough food to spare. But they took this little bit from one neighbor and that little bit from one neighbor and they took this little bit from each other and they prepared an incredible meal, a feast for us. And I was struck in that moment about how many times I let things I have way more than most of those people will ever experience combined, and yet I let the little deficits that I have keep me from relationship because I don't think I'm enough. And in that moment, man, I just was so encouraged to bring my little bit and be hospitable with my little bit, to be hospitable with my not enough. And I want to encourage you to do the same. And one of the things that happened at the end of that meal actually happened at the end of every meal in India when I was with another pastor. The pastors eat last. Sometimes that meant the pastors didn't eat because there wasn't enough food. But they never ate first. They always ate last. So this is a picture of me with these men. These are all pastors. Because I want to be that kind of leader. And guess what? That's what hospitality is about. Hospitality says, I'm going to be last. Meaning, I'm going to prefer you to me. So I'm going to be vulnerable first because I prefer you to me. And I'm willing to offer my vulnerability if it's going to serve you in our friendship. I'm willing to be last. I'm willing to show you my house in its current state so that I actually eliminate the idea that you have that I have all my stuff together. Because I'm willing to be last because I want to be received in relationship with you, and I want it to be authentic and built up. So I know that we all have these not enoughs that keep us from this, and I just want to say to you, you are enough. Right here, as you are enough. If you let people into your life as it is right now, you will find treasure that you can't find if you're waiting until you got it all figured out. So I want you to believe that. I want you to have that mindset, because that mindset, as I said earlier, and as I believe the Bible teaches, changes your world. Hospitality changes your world for sure, but it actually changes the world. Because there's a lot of ways that you can think about what Jesus did for us in coming to earth, in choosing to be the vulnerability of a human, and choosing to open himself up to die for us. But one of those things that you can say is that Jesus chose to be hospitable to you and to me. One writer put it this way. They said, the ultimate act of hospitality was when Jesus Christ died for sinners to make everyone who believes a member of the household of God. We are no longer strangers and sojourners. We have come home to God. Everybody who trusts in Jesus finds a home in God. Jesus opened himself up. He opened up his life. He opened up his time. He opened up all that he had so that he could open up a place for you and I to sit at the table of God. You know, it really is true that the Christian faith, the church, actually moved forward, spread one table meal at a time. It spread one friendship at a time. It spread one act of hospitality at a time. So I want to go back to where we started in Romans 12, where Paul is encouraging the church to practice hospitality. And I want to read that verse again in the context of the hospitality that God has shown us. Romans 12, 1 is actually the section where this is found, and it begins with these words, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. What does he mean? He means in view of the fact that God has been hospitable to you, that God has welcomed you, a stranger, to his table through the grace that he offers you through his son, Jesus. In view of that mercy, Paul says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. And then he says what we read earlier, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. And in that context, he says, practice hospitality. So I want to encourage you, man, if you want more community in your life, open up. If you want more friendships in your life, open up. Gain the skill of opening up your life to people. Maybe you're single, maybe you're married, maybe you're an empty nester, maybe you're a single parent. No matter where you are enough right where you are in this season of life. And I want to encourage you to open up. No matter how your house looks, open it up. Open up your dorm room. Open up your apartment. In fact, let's just do this right now. Can we just be honest? If we were to go to each other's houses right now without any preparation, most of us would say the same thing. I'm really sorry my house looks like this. It doesn't always look this way. That's what we would say. So why don't you just talk to somebody next to you and just get it out of your system. Just tell them that. Say, hey, I'm sorry that my house looks this way. It doesn't always look this way. Just go ahead and tell them now. Just tell them. Just talk amongst yourselves and say that. Just get it out. Just get it out. All right, you feel good getting that out of your system? Awesome. Because guess what? You all are a bunch of liars. Your house does look like that most of the time, right? It does. And I'm telling you, in that state, open up your house. In that state, open up your life and experience the goodness, the fruit that comes from hospitality. So I have a challenge for you, and then I'm done. And the challenge is this. Most of us in here, maybe not all of us, but most of us in here in the next 7 days are going to have 21 opportunities to open up. 21 opportunities at least to practice hospitality. You know what they are? They're the three meals you're going to eat every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now, I know some of you are like, I don't do breakfast. Okay, 14. I get it. But we're going to have opportunities, and here's my challenge. My challenge is simply this. Pick two of them this week. Pick two of them in the next 7 days and open them up to other people. And honestly, it doesn't matter that you prepare the food or not. You can meet them at a coffee shop, whatever it is. Cookies are fine. It doesn't matter. But whatever it is, I want you to pick two of those 21 opportunities to open up your life. Because when you do, hospitality will change your world. And as we practice that more and more, it can literally change the world. Let me pray. God, I pray that all of us would receive and embrace this challenge, this opportunity to open up. I know that there are probably people listening and watching who do struggle with being enough. And God, I'm so thankful because the truth is none of us are enough. But Jesus, you were enough. And so you offered yourself for us, and it covers over all the ways that we fall short. So I pray that we would receive that grace from you and then be able to extend that out as hospitality to other people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys, go practice the people skill of hospitality, and we'll see you next week.
Hope you enjoyed your experience this week, and maybe you learned something about how to make time for friends, and I encourage you to take action on that this week. Something else to do this week, by the way, if you enjoyed your experience, it doesn't have to end here. There's a free Crossroads app called Crossroads Anywhere app. You can get it in the App Store or Google Play, wherever you download your apps. It's got all kinds of incredible content and experiences throughout the week that you can engage on. One of those, by the way, is The Chaser. It's some questions to help you get the most out of this weekend content, this experience, questions that you can go through with your friends. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you next weekend.